shoes off, grab a drink, refresh your mind, and elevate yourself to your best life.
Hey out there to all of our podcast listeners. Thank you so much for tuning into the E-Lounge this evening. This is your girl, Shankara, and I'm sitting here in the lounge at the round table this evening with your other co-hosts, Annette, Kelly, and Titania. Say hello, ladies.
Hello.
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 All right. So, okay, you guys know how we do it here in the lounge, right? We start every show off with the checklist rundown, and today is no different. So here we go. Number one, are you in a quiet place where you can attentively listen to today's show? Number two, do you have your favorite libation on hand? Number three, do you have your journal and pen handy so you can capture the knowledge nuggets from today's show? And lastly, are you ready to get this show started? Well, if you answered yes to all these questions, I think it's time to turn up in the E-Lounge. So it's April, y'all, and as you know, we are featuring cool jobs all this month here in the E-Lounge. You know, those careers that a lot of us dream of having secretly because they represent our passion, but that we struggle with stepping out on faith to execute, those are the careers we are talking about this month as we celebrate those entrepreneurs that have stepped out on faith and are doing amazing things with their passion. That said, today we are talking with an amazing personal chef, or chefologist, as he calls himself, Mr. Santana Burris. Chef Santana's love of food started as a child growing up in North Carolina and was further nurtured in the ATL, where he honed his skills as a self-taught chef working for a number of major restaurants and hotels in the Atlanta region. Chef Santana eventually decided he wanted to take his culinary skills to the next level, and he enrolled and graduated from the prestigious Culinary Institute of America in New York. He has worked with world-renowned chefs, including Marcus Samuelson. He also has an extensive training and background in wine tasting and wine pairing. Chef Santana is a culinary craftsman who cooks with his heart and his soul. Each dish is an extraordinary and amazing extension of his passion for food and for fellowship. Food was truly the foundation of his upbringing, and through his culinary skills, he is passionate about making food the flavorful foundation that fuels your life. He has been featured in Business Insider and Travel Noir magazines, but today, y'all, he is being featured right here in the E-Lounge, okay? So, Chef Santana, how are you, and welcome to the E-Lounge.
Thank you. Thank you. That was a beautiful introduction. I appreciate that. I'm glad to be here.
You're absolutely welcome. We are so excited to have you here. You know, this is going to be an amazing show, and the only thing that could have made it better was that you could have prepared one of your amazing dishes and brought it here in the lounge for us to partake of. But, you know, next time, we're going to hold you to doing that for us, right? Next time.
Definitely.
Next time.
Definitely.
All right. We're going to hold you to that. So let's jump in and get started with this actual conversation with this amazing chefologist we have on the line. You know, tell us, Chef Santana, how did your love for cooking actually come about? I know you talked about how you ate a lot, you got cooked a lot around family and friends, but what was it that was like the catalyst that made you really develop a passion for cooking?
It was actually just my father. He was the chef in the household. My mom, she knew how to eat. So I learned how to eat from my mom, and I learned how to cook from my father. And it was interesting. Once my mom and father separated, like in 1999, that's when, like, my mom, like I said, my mom wasn't used to cooking. So if I wanted something that I wanted to eat, because I was an extremely picky eater, I had to cook it myself. And then my mom was also like a church woman growing up, and she had gatherings. So I'll be the one that's cooking for the gatherings at the potlucks and stuff. So never knew I was going to do it professionally, but that's where the love of it started.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. So how old when you were doing cooking for the potlucks? How old were you at that point?
Like 13, 14, somewhere around there.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. So you knew very, very early on you had a passion for cooking.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. Wow, that's amazing. Well, you know, Kelly, you know, let's talk about this because, Kelly, you know, you and I, we both like to eat too. So, Kelly, let's hop in here and have some conversation about, you know, exactly what your thoughts are as it relates to this chefologist that we have on the call.
Yes, girl. You know we love some food. But me, myself, you know, Shankar, you're different. You're the cook. I love to procure my meals ready-made from a restaurant because I can't cook worth a darn. Do you hear me? So listen, I want to know, since you started cooking like very early on, you were really young when you started, and you found that you enjoyed it and you had a love of it. But that's different from wanting to actually do it as a career. Like, at what point did you know, you know what, I think I want to be a chef and really do this full time? When did you know that?
I'm going to tell you, like, so when I first, my first wave in the workforce, I went straight to corporate where I was doing sales and marketing. And I remember at like age 24, I was making good money. I was working at AT&T Yellow Pages. I remember it like it was yesterday. And I was making, in my eyes, it was good money. And I saw that I wanted to like change my lifestyle. I was looking at homes to buy. And I paused. I got a little scared. I was like, hold up. If I change my lifestyle right now, I'm always need this dumb job to maintain that lifestyle. So let me go try out some dreams. If it don't work out, then I know what I'm good at. So that's how I knew I wanted to pursue it professionally.
Wow. Okay. Well, that, you know, that makes sense. And then it's a different type of lifestyle being a chef, right? And then being a chef in different venues gives a different presence, if you will, for your food. So in that vein, what do you enjoy more? Is it the restaurant cooking, or when you're cooking for like a family or for a couple? You know, sometimes you have those private chef engagements, I guess. You know, what is that for you? Which one do you enjoy the most?
Undoubtedly, it's going to be the private chef. I love cooking in intimate settings, providing intimate experiences for people. It really allows me to still cook from the heart and cook with love. When I was working in restaurants, it's more about pumping food out. It's a lot of dark things that go on in the restaurant industry where it can become very toxic or taxing on your body, your mental, and everything. So, and no slight for anybody who wants to continue doing restaurants, because I got love for those guys. But for me, it wasn't for me. Yeah, that's just how it was. It just didn't allow me to cook for the love of it.
I'm so glad that you said that, because I am going to take down your number. And I'm going to need you to come over my house.
I will. I do it. I will.
Okay. And help me out a little bit. Would you please? What you think, Tanya?
Look, Santana, I'm sitting over here laughing because Shankar is the cook. And I love to eat as well. I do cook. Not that great, but I know how to cook to survive. So I'm sitting here like, woo, please bring me a dish. We're going to have to get with you when we come in town and get some good eat. So I want to talk to you. I have a question for you. So you mentioned about working in the restaurant, and I'm sure there was a lot of long hours of your time. What was the turning point for you where you said, you know what, I need to just step into this entrepreneurship thing and just do my own thing? Was there something that happened that you said, you know, I need to just step into my own?
Oh, it really was. I mean, so like you said earlier, I moved from Atlanta to New York just to pursue culinary on a more professional level. So I kind of got stuck into that New York state of mind where I was just kind of in that hustle and bustle, and I forgot what I came up there, almost forgot what I came up for. And I knew I always wanted to be an entrepreneur, always wanted to do catering and private chef events. So I remember I was at work. And I'm probably there for like 3 or 4 years at this point, and I'm spazzing in the kitchen. I don't know if you know about chefs, but we're some yellers. Like, things, it goes down in the kitchen. So everything's making me mad. Now, mind you, I was recruited to that job right out of school, so I was super excited about working there. And I had to take a step back because, listen, I was just coming there angry, spazzing on people, mad, all the whole nine. It sounds like that. And so I took a step back. I sat down with one of my higher chefs. And I was like, listen, you know what? I realized this is the same job that I started and I was super excited about working at. However, I think what happened is my learning stopped. So I'm in a situation right now is I'm not learning anything. I need to be making a lot of money. And if I'm not making a lot of money, I need to be learning a lot. And neither was happening. So I was like, I gotta step back. And I put in my 2 weeks notice from there. And I just went out there on that faith and walked out there.
Wow, that's good. So you just stepped out on faith. And so you made a good point. You know, if you're not learning, right, we all should be learning from everything that we do, not only with our passions, but we also have to continue just to learn, evolve all the time. So that's a great point. When you stop learning, you knew what? I gotta do something different. So exactly. I love that. So you worked up in New York, right? Hustle and bustle, very, very busy up in New York. I go to New York often, and I love the city. But when you transitioned to Atlanta, that was quite different, different culture. And so did your style of cooking change at all, being in the restaurant in New York and then going to more of your Southern style foods, moving to Atlanta, Georgia?
No. Well, so just to switch up. So I went from Atlanta to New York. So
I just
came back to Charlotte like 6 months ago.
Okay. Okay.
So I'm back in the South.
Mm-hmm. You're back in the South. So is that more of the comfort foods that you enjoy cooking? What types of foods do you really enjoy? Would you say it's your expertise?
Oh, I started my own style in New York. Gave it its own name, and I call it modern diasporic, or I call it Pan African food. So when you have a meal from me, you'll have food and ingredients that's coming out the African continent. You have it coming out the Caribbean and South America, and also the American South. So essentially, you're getting like the whole slave trade or just the dispersion of Africans all over in a dish, you know. So that's just kind of what I do. I storytell through food, and I like to highlight and find my roots and different, because just connect different ingredients to the dispersion of Africans from, you know, the motherland.
Woo, that sounds good. We got to get down there and get some of that good eating. What do you think, Sean Carr? We got to make a trip.
He just said Pan-African or modern diasporic food. Okay, now that's a whole new genre. I'm feeling that. I am absolutely feeling that. So I'm just curious, what would be a meal that you would define as being Pan-African or modern diasporic? What would be a meal? Give me an example of what you put together that kind of falls into that category.
Well, I'll take it like this. Let's say one of my latest dishes that's been getting a lot of raves and reviews is my oxtail and grits. You know, we used to, you know, the grits come from the American South, and then you see a lot of different oxtail variations in the Caribbean. And then also I like to connect a lot of food and tell the story through rice. Like every region and continent has their own variation of rice and also a variation of beans. So you'll see me play with those curry flavors. So it might be like curry black eyed peas. I grew up on black eyed peas, but I didn't grow up on curry, you know, so I can mash the two together. Or then I might have that with some coconut rice, and you'll find that out there in Trinidad or the Colombia. Situations like that. So I just kind of just mash all that together. And then, like I said on once before, you just get all of it. You just get the whole story of, you know, of our roots in
a
meal.
Wow, that sounds amazing. That is absolutely amazing. Wow. Well, you know, I'm just sitting here and we're talking about these cool jobs. I'm just curious, right? Now that you really settled into doing what you love, you're comfortable in doing what you love as a personal chef or chefologist, as you like to call yourself, you know, if you had to look back on your younger self, right, and give yourself some advice, right, that maybe could have helped you succeed a little earlier, what would that advice be?
Oh, that's a good question. You just got to get it. You just got to go. Don't stall. See if it works. Fail your way to the top. Like, if it works, good. If it don't work, you know early, and you just try something else. You know, sometimes we sit back and we want to stall and get things perfect, but it's never going to be perfect. And then also when you fail, you know, like 9 times out of 10, you're not even going to fail in the eyes of your audience. You just know what happened. And so that just strengthens your whole execution up. So it,
just
to go back to what you asked me, yeah, it's just definitely like, don't stall, get it. And, you know, just do it.
Wow. So all you aspiring chefs that are out there, I hope you guys heard that. He said, just get it. Don't stall. And if you fail, keep it moving, because only you, 9 times out of 10, know that you fail. So just keep it moving. And as they say, fake it till you make it, right? Just keep it moving. So that is awesome. That's awesome advice, you know. Annette, you know, you've been real quiet here, you know, and Annette has that Caribbean flair. She's originally from Barbados. So, Annette, I know you want to get in here and have some conversation about them beans and rice and those oxtails. So let's talk about that, Annette.
Yes, ma'am, I do. But listen, before we get to my question, let's take it to break, and we're going to come right back with Chef Santana Burris. We'll be right back, everybody.
Hello, I'm Leon Quay Chavette, publisher, corporate trainer, speaker, and author of We Made Plans, a fictional novel which debuted as number 3 on Amazon's Hot New Releases. This amazing story chronicles the lives of a group of longtime friends who were in the midst of living their best lives when they experienced a devastating, trajectory-altering event, hashtag the event. My podcast, Sounding the Alarm, Be Safe, Be Vigilant, Be Prepared, we'll explore 4 different weekly categories with topics ranging from unconventional self-defense to active shooter profiles. I bring it all together in highlighting passages and concepts from my novel as it relates to real-life experiences. You don't want to miss out on these critical preparatory shows. Tune in Tuesday evenings at 6:30 p.m. for Sounding the Alarm, Be Safe, Be Vigilant, Be Prepared podcast with your host, Leoncle Chivette.
Classy, chic, cultured, custom group travel. That's the Exceptional Travel Destination Travel Club way. From Miami to Dubai and all the places in between, XTD Travel Club has you covered. Whether you're planning a vacation or staycation, here at XTD Travel Club, we believe your next vacation is only limited to how big you are willing to dream. Customized, all exclusive, upscale travel for groups is what we do. Celebrating a milestone birthday, anniversary, or just want to get away with family and friends, but you want someone else to plan the trip? From the black car service that picks you up and takes you to the airport to the group dinner at your all-inclusive resort, well, our XTD Concierge Travel Service has you covered. And did we mention we offer installment payment plans on many of our packages? Well, we do. So we've got you covered there, too. You just tell us where and when, and we will take care of the rest. Visit us today on the web at www.exceptionaltravel.com. That's exceptional with an X. On Facebook at Exceptional Travel Destinations Travel Club, or on Instagram at Exceptional Travel Destinations, or call us at 844-XTD-TRAVEL and get ready to live, explore, and celebrate one XTD vacation at a time. Mention code EELVACAY10 and receive 10% off your first travel package with XTD Travel Club.
Welcome back, everybody. We're talking to Chef Santana this evening as part of our Cool Job segment. Now, Chef Santana, you're so busy. Let's talk about some of the places you've traveled.
Definitely. I've traveled to a few places out throughout the Caribbean. I've done two times. I was in Jamaica twice with my craft. Puerto Rico, I just came back from there. Mexico twice again, and then domestically I've been to DC, of course, New York, LA, Atlanta, and I think that might be it, if I'm not mistaken. Somewhere around there. But listen, I travel everywhere, so if it pays how away, I'm out there.
Yeah. So I mean, is there like one dish that you absolutely love to do?
Yeah, that's a question I get asked a lot. I don't necessarily have a best dish per se. Normally, I like just getting inspired to cook. Like, for instance, like I storytell through food again. So if I was to come cook for the E-Lounge, I would just definitely interview you guys, right? And then just put that into a meal. And it's just inspiration. So, like, my next dish is my best dish. I don't have a favorite dish to cook.
I understand you have a way of blending your culinary arts with music. Let's talk about that for a moment.
So we used to do this event called the Collab, where we did it in Harlem. It was so dope. We bring in emerging black artists for the most part, and we come into a collector's home, and I'll provide food, cocktails, and the artist will give a conversation about his artistic point of view. And I'm talking about these are some dope artists, like your Jerome Legarese, your Joshua Close, like all of these cats. And so what I would do is just get on the phone call with them and ask them just like a 5-minute interview, like, where did you grow up at? Where did you meet your wife? You know, where did you go to college at? When was that first big break where you got your first art show? And those type of questions right there kind of gets my mind flowing where I can actually put that into a dish. You know, so like if you had a dish, like I remember one, Jerome Legarese, he told me his first solo show was in Italy. I forget which region in Italy it was, but it was his. So what I did, I just kind of made like a curated charcuterie plate. And mind you, so he's also done the illustrations for Maya Angelou. Maya Angelou is an excellent cook. She has a couple cookbooks and everything. So I was able to look up like some things that she used to like making, and I was able to incorporate that into the dish as well. So I mean, it's a rabbit hole, but it's fun. I love it.
But it sounds like there's a method to the madness, Chef. There's a basic foundation to how you get all this going.
It is. I mean, honestly, it's just like really listening, cooking from the heart, and just getting that pen writing. Like I'll start like a web, and then I figure out like if you grew like Jerome Legarie, for instance. Again, he's of African descent, but he grew up in France. So I mean, I'm classically trained in French cuisine, so it was easy for me to you know, approach it in a French technique way. You know, he had some time in New Orleans, so I'm like, oh, easy. They do the Creole flavors, French New Orleans. Okay, he met his wife in Colombia. His wife is Colombian. Oh, okay. Let me make this coconut rice as well. You know, yeah. He did a couple of tours in Haiti, so I'm okay. Ooh, so the sauce for the meat is going to be an epi spice. You know, so that's the madness. It really is madness.
And you just unleashed a lot of fun facts that we just didn't know. And Chef, where exactly, for our listeners that are just joining us, where exactly did you train?
I trained at the Culinary Institute of America in New York, the Culinary Institute of America. Gotta say that a lot. It costs a lot of money to go there. So
listen, I understand. And for aspiring chefs, did you feel that was the best fit for you?
Absolutely.
What
would you
recommend to individuals that were looking to that career?
See, I went to school a little older, so I definitely had a reason for going to school. I'm more of a self-taught type of guy anyway. I think school is overrated, but education is so important. So for aspiring chefs, I would definitely say make sure you know what you're going for. If you just want to maybe just run a restaurant or something like that, a lot of times you can actually just go straight to the source, go to the kitchen and just train up under the chefs and just work your way up through the ranks. I went to the CIA just for the simple fact, one, because of the name and the perception that it got. Two, I knew that CIA puts out some of the best chefs in the world. So I wanted that web and that network of people. And then three was the education. You know, so if you're going to go and spend a lot of money on school, make sure you're going to soak it all the way up. Make sure you make those connections, you know, and make sure you just like leave your footprints at that school. Don't just spend $80,000 to $120,000 just because you went to school and just go out and just be a cook, because you can just go straight through the ranks at a restaurant and have a very successful career like that.
Absolutely. And I'm all about networking, Chef. And I love something that you just said, which is, and Kelly and I have had so many conversations. Sometimes it's about focusing on what you like. It's not that school wasn't for you, but you have a specialty, and I think you need to hone that craft. Isn't that really, really important?
It's 100% important, 100%.
All right, so Chef, all of our listeners, our taste buds are already going. So tell our listeners how we can reach you if you're interested in procuring your personal chef services.
Absolutely. Well, you can reach me on all social media platforms at Santana Burris. That's Santana Burris with two S's at the end, B-U-R-R-I-S-S. You can also go to my website, www.santanaburris.com. And then, yeah, you can just always see what I have coming up and what type of events that I'm doing. And if I'm in your city, definitely want you to be a part of it. If you want to fly me out, if you want to bring me in to style out your whole intimate situation, I'm the guy to do it.
That is wonderful. Chef, thank you so much for spending your time with us this evening and setting our taste buds on fire. Come back anytime.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
But next time when you come back, Chef, this is Shankar. I'm going to need you to bring that dish with you when you come back the next time.
Okay? Listen, if we open, I got you. I'm not going to bring the dish. I'm going to cook it there.
I know that's right. For real.
All right.
At the very least, you know what? But seriously, if y'all want me to... whenever y'all do y'all next show or whatever, I can send you some recipes for a cocktail if y'all want to enjoy the cocktail that you guys can all kind of sip on and enjoy.
Yes. Let's
love
do that.
It,
let's
it,
do that.
That's
that.
A just bet up right
me,
there.
Follow up with me on that one, and I'll make sure you guys are sipping on something really nice for the
I
next show.
I will do that. I will do that.
We're going to hold you to it, Chef. We're going to hold you to it, okay?
Please.
Well, that's going to do it for us this evening, everybody. Join us next week for another exciting episode in the E-Lounge. We're talking cool jobs. Thanks, everyone. Have a wonderful week.
Take your sheets off, grab a drink, refresh your mind, and elevate yourself to your best life. shoes off, grab a drink, refresh your mind, and elevate yourself to your best life. E-Lounge. Take your shoes off, grab a drink, refresh your mind, and elevate yourself to your best life. E-Lounge. E-Lounge. Take your shoes off, grab a drink, refresh your mind, and elevate yourself to your best life. Shoes off, grab a drink, refresh your mind, and elevate yourself to your best life in the E-Lounge. Take your shoes off, grab a drink, refresh your mind, and elevate yourself to your best life in the E-Lounge. E-Lounge. Take your shoes off, grab a drink, refresh your mind, and elevate yourself to your best life.